Well, in Baltimore today, jury selection begins in the trial of William Porter, the first of six Baltimore police officers charged in the death of Freddie Gray, the 25-year-old black man who died in April after being arrested and suffering a serious spinal injury while in police custody. Gray's death, as we remember, sparked major protests in Baltimore, and the trials of these six officers are very high stakes for the city. David Jaros is a professor at the University of Baltimore School of Law and a former public defender. David Jaros, the six officers in this case are being tried separately. Remind us of the charges Officer Porter is facing and why he's being tried first.
Officer Porter is facing several charges. The most serious charge is he's charged with manslaughter. He's also charged with reckless endangerment, assault, and I believe misconduct. The reason he's being tried first, according to the statements made by the state's attorney's office, is that they believe he has statements, he's made statements that they need to use in subsequent trials. So they hope to have his testimony available for them.
And the police commissioner in Baltimore, Kevin Davis, has said everything is at stake. The future of the city is at stake in this case. Do you agree?
I think that is the general feeling in Baltimore. I think that is problematic, to be honest, because the issues that have been raised by the Freddie Gray case, which raise serious social issues related to race and policing and the way criminal justice is happening in poor communities, is not the issue that is going to be resolved in this criminal case, which is dealing with a much narrower set of issues.
And we've had so many of these cases that have gotten so much attention in the last year. Of course, Michael Brown and Eric Garner in Staten Island and just recently in Chicago. But how common is it for these cases to go to trial, for officers involved to go to trial?
It is very unusual. We saw in the case of Michael Brown in Ferguson that the district attorney failed to indict in that case. There was some question about whether or not that office really made a full effort to get an indictment. What is different about Baltimore, perhaps, is that the state's attorney has taken a very aggressive approach with this particular case.
And an indictment is one thing. What about a conviction? That's another story altogether. There are a lot of steps between here and there.
There are a lot of steps, and I think it's particularly challenging in the case in Baltimore, where the tragic video of Laquan McDonald being shot in Chicago and Eric Garner even being choked in Staten Island involved at least an aggressive act by the police officers that was filmed and where they were on trial for their deliberate actions. The case involving Freddie Gray is very different. The officers are really being charged under a theory that they failed to act, that they failed to get medical attention when they knew that they needed to do so. I think that's going to be much harder for the prosecution to be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that that failure was done with an awareness that Freddie Gray might die.
Does public pressure matter at all? Does all of the Black Lives Matter movement matter as these cases go forward?
I think it's critically important for understanding why these cases are finally seeing the light of day. Once we get into the courtroom and we're talking about a prosecution of a criminal case, I think it matters much less. And I think it's important, again, that people understand that the cases, they change dramatically, and the issues explored in the criminal case are much narrower than the larger social issues that have been brought out by these events.
What do you think that this says about where we are right now as a nation, that these cases are coming up all over the country and there's so much attention on them? This case in Baltimore, without what has happened in the last year, probably would not be something that we'd be talking about in the national media.
You're absolutely right. Things are changing and they're changing rapidly. There is a national recognition that there is a problem about race and the police and what's happening in poor communities in this country. There would never have been imagined, I think, the speed at which adoption of new technologies like police body cameras would have happened at this rate were it not for the fact that people caught these terrible events on video cameras on their phones. So I think we're having a very different conversation about police misconduct, about criminal justice in poor communities. And frankly, there's a very different conversation about criminal justice broadly in this country as we're revisiting issues relating to sentencing and incarceration rates as well.
What do you think happens if all of these six officers are acquitted?
You know, I think it's very difficult to speculate about that. What I would hope, but I fear, is not going to happen, is that people would recognize that the issues involved in the criminal case are really very separate from the broader issues that have been raised by the terrible incidents that have occurred. And that the Black Lives Matter movement, which raises so many critical issues that have to be explored as a society, are not going to be resolved with criminal convictions. The value is that they've been brought to the public's consciousness.
But of course, many people who are listening to this may think, well, this has everything to do with the Black Lives Matter movement. This is the example of the judicial system having the ability to hold people accountable.
I think accountability is very important. But I think using the criminal justice system and convictions as the way to really change what's happening is going to be a poor tool. Criminal cases are not really great tools for finding out exactly what happened. Moreover, I think that the legal challenges of proving this case are significant. And I would hate to sort of equate the success of the Black Lives Matter movement with the success of this criminal trial.
That's David Jaros, a professor at the University of Baltimore School of Law. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.